No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. Ha! You try and change me, you can go to hell, 'cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth, and I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll, turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you want from me?
All right, welcome to the show this morning. So glad that you are back with us on Rogers Television and on 570 News. Busy show for busy people. Remember that boss of ours, Polly, that used to say that all the time? I like that guy. He was good. He was tough, but he was good. He kind of inspired that kind of, you know, fire in your belly to get your day underway.
The thing about that guy is I didn't realize that he was a good boss until after he moved on somewhere else.
Me too.
Yeah.
I told him that one time. I said to him, you know, I kind of didn't appreciate you, I don't think. Because he could be harsh, that's for sure. There was no, you never had to wonder what he was thinking. He was Paula Abdul, straight up, now tell me kind of guy. That's how he rolled. And sometimes it hurt a little bit. Yeah. Sometimes, a couple times, and this is, I'm not actually proud of this, but a couple times in dealing with that particular manager, I had to physically remove myself from his office. Like, I had to stop talking and say to him, I'm going to take a couple minutes here because I'm going to say something that could get me fired. I could say something that could limit my career. And he would let me do that. And a couple times I didn't say it. I just said, I got to go. And kind of did. I stormed out a little bit. But anyway, still had a great relationship with him years later. Busy show for busy people. Do you know what it is today, Polly? It is Bartender Appreciation Day.
December the 1st. That's it. All right.
And a Friday.
Okay.
Did you ever work in a restaurant, Polly?
No. I've been to lots of restaurants, but I've never worked in one. No.
You know, I spend a lot of time behind a bar. I'm a way better bartender than I am a radio DJ. Some of you guys tell me that all the time. Or talk show host. We're going to tell you what your bartender is thinking. Things your bartender would love to tell you. That's going to come up. So we'll go to Pile of Fun because it is Friday. However, we can't negate the fact. Remember a couple days ago, I told you guys that this is where we're at in this universe. And I'm happy that this is where we're at. But we have the daily harassment roundup. This is produced by a prep service that we subscribe to here at the radio stations to provide us with, you know, headlines, entertainment news, and so on and so forth. So today in the harassment roundup, let's just quickly go through a couple of them before we get to the one that I think is mattering most to Canadians today. Matt Lauer has deleted all of his social media. Megyn Kelly has invited Matt Lauer's accusers to appear on her show. NBC has at least two new complaints about Matt Lauer. Tom Hanks has said he's not surprised by all the stories coming out right now. Kirstie Alley has called out victims for not confronting their abusers. Wah, wah. Seriously, don't they teach you better at the Church of Scientology? I mean, nobody really knows what goes on in there, but clearly it's not educational. So it's some victim blaming by Kirstie Alley. Bette Midler has made some allegations against Geraldo Rivera. That's from Rolling Stone. Another person says Al Franken groped her at a photo op. And, of course, here in Canada, the news last night actually came from the very top, from Rick Brace, who is... the director of all media at this company. Full disclosure, again, this radio station, all three of our radio stations are owned by Rogers. And I was pretty proud of this company last night. I was very proud of this company last night. And I tweeted that out. Some people are saying with the firing of Greg Zahn from Sportsnet that, I mean, it was pretty evident. It was pretty clear about the toxic masculinity that emitted from him continuously. People are coming forward with stories from years ago about some of his behavior, as it seems to do as these stories unravel. We're going to get to that at 9:30, the firing of Greg Zahn. here at Rogers and at Sportsnet. I will read you that email from Rick Brace and the follow-up as well from Joe Natale, who is not just in charge of media. He is in charge of all Rogers operations.
Joe is so big up there, he doesn't have a boss. Like, he is the boss's 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 boss.
The buck stops there.
He doesn't have a boss.
That's right. Career goals. So we'll talk about that on the way as well for you. So let's start here this morning. I really, really loved this article that was in Maclean's, this piece from Maclean's, just about a couple of days ago. And it comes from a Canadian actress who is by the name of Imogen Grace. She's actually from Stratford and now is based in Toronto, actor and screenwriter and the co-founder of the women in film organization, the Bechdel Bill. She joins us this morning. Imogen, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
Hi. Okay, so I have to say, I've learned so much about you over the past few days, and I'm certainly glad I did. We're going to get to that piece that is in Maclean's that is getting shared, and in my view, happily going viral in just a couple seconds. But let's just talk about for a couple minutes, if you will, the Bechdel Bill, what that is, and what it how it came to be.
Yeah, certainly. So the Bechdel Bill is a women in film organization, and I started it with my co-founder, Joella Crichton, here in Toronto. And she's an actress, and I'm an actress, and I'm also a screenwriter. And it takes the Bechdel test. It asks three questions. Are there two named women, and do they talk to each other about something other than a man? And this test has been around for 30 years, and it's sort of a pop culture joke, and we took that question and we applied it sort of, as kind of sort of a tongue-in-cheek way for people to commit that the films they make will pass this test. So 4 out of 5 of every film that the producer or writer or filmmaker makes is going to pass the Bechdel test. And we used that question to kind of get to a bigger issue of what kind of female characters do you have in your stories, and are they of substance, and what are their conversations about? And so we've had different events, and we launched at TIFF in 2015, and then we've had various panels, and we also talk about diversity as well. So that's the Bechdel Bill.
When I read your piece in Maclean's magazine, I said to our producer, to producer James, I said, this is sometimes on this show, I'll do a segment that, I kind of say, I wish I had penned this. I wish this was an editorial from my brain. And I will just read it word for word because I don't want to do it any disservice by trying to edit it on the fly. But I said, please try to get Imogen on the show with us. And so I'm certainly glad that you have joined us this morning. The piece in Maclean's is called Four Malignant Questions About Sexual Harassment That Keep Getting Repeated. You say that it's good that people are asking these difficult questions, but a lot of them have really troubling undercurrents of doubt and resentment. And just yesterday, I saw so much of that doubt and resentment coming from women online, which somehow disheartens me more than when I see it from men. But I have to say, when I read your article, I was happy to see that even you, in some of these scenarios that we'll go through, even you found yourself, kind of comforting men that you loved when they asked some of these questions. That's how pervasive these attitudes are.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's really interesting about it. And I think so often, this whole situation is framed as gender warfare or men against women. And it's such a troubling way for us to look at it because it's really about power and predatory behavior. And, none of us want that really. And I think when we make it about men versus women, we lose out on our relationships and we distract ourselves from what's actually happening.
Yeah. And it has been hard to have these conversations with you know, the so-called, the good guys, the allies, the ones that we, the ones that we love, the ones that we know are the good guys, the ones that we have to gently say, okay, just don't not all men me. Please don't not all men me. Just be an ally and be supportive. Let's go through some of these questions that you ask in the piece in McLean's. So the first question, are we allowed to make jokes like that anymore? You mentioned that you heard a version of it on a TV set the other day.
Yes, exactly, where I work. And I've heard a few versions of it. You know, are we allowed to make jokes like that anymore? Am I allowed to, you know, am I allowed to hug you anymore? Are we allowed to, you know, flirt anymore? All of those sorts of things. I'm not anti-flirt necessarily. I'm not anti-joke necessarily. But I think that question, though it can be asked genuinely, what it does is it kind of says, okay, all of these accusations, you know, this whole situation is so absurd. It kind of points out the situation and says, it's absurd and it's, you know, harming all of us. And what's not absurd is these actions, the, you know, what's happened to these men and women, the abuse. But what's absurd is that the people came forward. It's suggesting that what's actually absurd is that people came forward, or that we're seeing these consequences happen so swiftly. And I think what we should really think is absurd is that it was allowed to happen and allowed to go on for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's anyone to blame for any unfortunate social consequences that we have to suffer, it's the people who committed those actions and not the people who are stepping forward.
Yeah. I have had this conversation with some of the guys who I love and work with and have worked with for years and years and years. And I have said to them, for me, it's about balance of power. You know, I'm not your boss. You're not my boss. And you don't have anything kind of over me and vice versa. And we have a relationship. We've already established our boundaries. You know what, that we can joke around. If both people are comfortable in that conversation or in that joke, then I don't see, that there's likely to be a problem. But that balance of power too is really something that, that has to be, non-existent in those situations.
Yes, and the cases that we're looking at, Weinstein and Louis C.K. and Matt Lauer, it's years of repeated behavior in some cases, and multiple victims and multiple witnesses. And I think it's important that we don't reduce it and make it sound like, oh, it's, you know, a simple case of crossed wires, or, you know, there's sort of room for human error there. These are cases that are very black and white, and I don't think we should reduce the severity of what's happening here.
Yeah, and in that, it kind of seems to me, and I had maybe a little bit of an argument on social media about this the other day. A man can't even compliment a woman anymore at work. A man can't even compliment a woman anymore. And to me, I responded and said, okay, so you're more worried about your right to tell somebody nice shoes, nice dress, nice hair, than you are that woman's right to not be defined by the way she looks. And I suggested, you know, why don't you tell her idea was great, or her script was great, or that meeting went really well under her leadership. I was like, tell her something that has nothing to do with her appearance, and maybe save those comments, if that's not the relationship you have, for your partner or your mother or your aunt or whomever. I mean, I kind of suggested that if you wouldn't say to your male colleague, God, I love those shoes, or I love your hair, then why are you saying it to a female one?
Mm-hmm, completely. And there, I have seen a bit of this resentment towards, you know, being careful or having to watch my back. And I mean, first of all, women are told from the time they're toddlers to be careful and to watch their back and to not have their behavior be misinterpreted. And I don't think it's a bad thing that burden of carefulness is now being shared, and that, you know, now, yes, people are going to scrutinize more and really look at our actions and our coworkers' actions and say, is that sexual harassment? Or for, you know, people to look internally and say, oh, could this be considered sexual harassment? I think it's okay for people to be asking those kinds of questions, and we can still have great relationships at our workplace, and I definitely don't think it needs to take away from that at all.
Imogen Grace is our guest, actor and screenwriter from Stratford. Now, let me ask you, totally let my ADHD take over for just 1 second. If you're from Stratford, is it ingrained in you? Is the theater and acting ingrained in you when you're just born in Stratford?
It is ingrained in me. It is ingrained in me, for sure. Yes, I was in a theater troupe when I was, I think, 7 or 8 doing Shakespeare. So
it's wonderful.
It's in the bones.
It is. It's lovely. It's one of our this area's just gems. I think that was probably my favorite part, Imogen, of the piece in McLean's, what you just touched on. Do I have to watch my back now? I like how you say, as if it were some new sort of punishment devised by women to be placed upon men. Because again, we're carrying that this burden is that we're responsible for making all of this happen, and that kind of that we're taking something away from the existence of how men have behaved up until this point. I think that's so key when you mention that girls, we are groomed from the time we can understand the words to, like you mentioned, the 2-year-old is told to close her legs because she's wearing a skirt. You know, by 12, we are really aware of our physical surroundings, holding keys between our knuckles and so on and so forth. And you did mention it, but again, my favorite part of the piece is when you said, yes, now the burden of carefulness is simply being shared. We've had to be conscious of our behavior our entire lives. And now imagine that burden, men, that you need to carry as well.
Yeah. And I think one of the best things that, you know, the silver that can be mined from this whole situation is that people are asking these questions. People are asking, okay, well, what does it look like for me to sexually harass somebody at work? And these are really tough questions, and they're questions that no one person can be the authority on. And I think we're often looking for an authority when it comes to these questions. And the only way through it is to talk to each other and to have these hard conversations and hope that it doesn't get ugly. But the good that I see is that we are looking at ourselves, and we are looking at, have I been harassed? Have I been the harasser? Do I need to change my behavior? And I think that's a more positive way of sort of asking that question is, you know, instead of saying, well, do I have to watch my back now? It's like, you know, okay, how should I be behaving at work? And people are really taking it seriously. And there's this precedent being set now that there are consequences for that kind of behavior, you know, whether people like it or not, it shouldn't be tolerated, and it's no longer going to be tolerated. And that's what we're seeing now.
Imogen Grace, we appreciate your time, and I loved it so much. Thanks for writing it. And I'll tweet that out for everybody to have a look at themselves. At JenCampbell77 is where it'll come from on my Twitter. I must tell you, I had so much engagement on when I reposted it on my Facebook page. So many people just really, really enjoyed it and shared it, and it started a wonderful conversation. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much for writing it, and thanks for taking the time to talk about it this morning with us.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me, Jennifer.
Thank you. Let's talk again soon. Thanks, Imogen. Okay, Polly wants me to take a break. And you know what? Today I'm going to do what I'm told. We'll be back on the Jennifer Campbell Show next.
News travels quickly, but 570 News breaking news alerts travel even faster. Get the biggest stories sent right to your mobile device. Brought to you by Libro Credit Union. Own your life. Sign up today and get breaking news alerts from 570news.com.
Okay, it's Bartender Appreciation Day. It's Friday. Some of you will have your little heinies in front of a bartender today. We all know it, let's be honest. Some things that bartenders would like to tell their customers. This is from the Business Insider. And they asked 30 bartenders what their clients need to hear. Here's the thing. Use cash to pay for a single drink. Running credit cards is more time-consuming than a cash transaction, and the tiny tip from one drink is not worth the extra time. So if you're going to get just one drink, one beer, pay cash. I'm not a servant. Please treat me like a human being. Do not bang the bottle on the bottle bangers. Oh, my gosh. Or the finger snappers. And, you know, when I was bartending, Polly, it was mostly in the town I grew up in, everybody knew my damn name. Jen, we need Coors Light. I was like, if you say my name, you are not getting a drink. No snapping, no bottle banging. Do not treat me like a potential date. That's a good one. Order everything at once. Don't have me make a margarita, then order a beer, and then order another margarita. You're going to get the bad tequila if that's something you do. I do see you. I will get to you the second I can. We want you, if I haven't taken your order, it's for a good reason. Please stop. And just wait with everyone else. It's worth repeating. This shows up again on the list. Stop hitting on the bartender. The bartender does not want to date you. He or she wants to make the drinks, make the money, and go home at 4 o'clock in the morning like a good little bartender. Money talks. Time is money, and that bar stool is real estate. So if you're sitting on a bar stool, you better be buying drinks, and you may not be annoyed when someone reaches over you to get a drink because you are sitting in the real estate. Yeah. And this is an insider tip. You are overpaying for super expensive cocktails. If you're ordering Mai Tais and mojitos and daiquiris, don't be surprised when it's a $14 drink. Beer and wine, perhaps. Easiest to get to you quickly, you can get from the bartender quickly and, kind of give them a little bit of respite. Also, yes, you are being judged on your drink order. You are. They're judging you. They're judging you on your drink order. Look at that guy on the screen. Appreciate your bartender today. Maybe give them a really good tip. And maybe if you're taking up that real estate, make sure you're not ordering Singapore slings. It's 9:29. We are back after this with Sportsnet firing analyst Greg Zahn. We'll get into that conversation. I know there's a lot of people who have a lot to say about it. Star 570, 519-570-2545. Were you surprised? Are you not surprised? Is any of this surprising to you anymore? Your thoughts on Greg Zahn. We'll open up those phone lines for you right now. Let's start there. Were you a fan? Because I hear a lot of people saying that nobody is really upset about this. Polly's a huge Blue Jays fan. We're going to get his reaction too. Coming up after the news on 570 News.
You can watch dash cam videos from Russia all day or put some actual news in your news feed. Click on 570news.com or go to your app store and download the 570 News app.
All right, we come back with the pile of fun kind of waiting for us. Let's see if we can get to that this morning. Okay, so last night an email comes in to us here as an employee of Rogers. And it comes in over the firing Sportsnet, terminating baseball analyst Greg Zahn's contract. That was effective immediately. All of this is on our website at 570news.com if you'd like to read along. In a statement, Rogers Media President Rick Brace emailed to all staff. He said Zahn's behavior completely contradicts our standards and our core values. We believe in a professional workplace where all employees feel comfortable and respected. We're grateful to our employees who spoke with us, and we'll take every measure to protect their privacy. You know that Zahn is a former Blue Jays catcher. He began a part-time broadcasting career at Sportsnet following the 2006 season. He played for 16 major league seasons, five in Toronto, had a World Series win with the Florida Marlins in 1997. So again, Rogers Media is the parent company of 570 News. And I tweeted last night that I was really proud. I was very proud of our company for having zero tolerance, for calling it out, for believing them, for believing the women who came forward. And then quickly, of course, the stories are revealed that, you know, Greg Zahn, I mean, I was never a fan. I didn't watch him much. Of course, I caught him here and there and kind of admired the outlandish suits that he would wear. It reminded me a lot of Don Cherry. But this was not the first time or even the second time where he was horrible to women. Perhaps this was behind closed doors. But we'll get to that in just a second. Polly, I want to get you in on this because you're a huge Jays fan. And I know that a lot of Jays fans, from what I understand, from what I'm reading and researching this morning, not a lot of Jays fans had a lot of love for Greg Zahn before this.
Actually, I liked Greg
Zahn.
Did you
like him?
He told it like it is. You know, didn't, you know, hold any punches back. You know, you guys were horrible today, and here's why. You should have done this or that. And so I appreciated his kind of no-holds-bar attitude. And a lot of people have said that, especially with the suits and stuff, he's kind of the Don Cherry of Blue Jays baseball.
Of baseball, yeah. And I do see fans saying, here's one on Twitter from someone named Jeff the Rothney. Before everyone attacks Greg Zahn, remember he was the most honest sports broadcaster in Canada, and remember all the charity work that he does. Hashtag Greg Zahn. Now, I kind of think about it in the Michael Jackson way. Just because you're a great talent at baseball or at music or at sports broadcasting doesn't negate the fact that you obviously acted like a complete douchewad in public, or he did do that on Twitter, or in the office, or the two are not mutually exclusive.
Oh yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's unfortunate. It is what it is. You know, and he should have been fired for that behavior. So it is what it is.
We have, and we have some stories coming in, I guess, from earlier. And I think the reason why these stories are important, these stories from years ago, like, for example, this one was in the Toronto Sun December 19th, 2012. And this was the story. Do you remember this, Polly, where he was on Twitter criticizing young females at a bar in Toronto? Here's what the tweet said. See if you recall this at all. The rich girls from TO must be home from college. Tubby, unfortunately, mannish, and super stuck up are all at Hemingway's tonight. He posted that on Twitter.
No, I don't remember that.
And then in May, just this past May, Greg Zahn tweeted, at Saks in New York City, so much estrogen in shoe department, I feel like I'm about to start my period. That was just this past May, which led a lot of people to say, you know, Sportsnet, you knew about this. You knew about his, I'm seeing this on Twitter too. You knew about this. You knew that he was toxic. You knew that he continuously had terrible things to say about mostly women, it appears, on Twitter. And people calling Sportsnet out on this, kind of like that, the Weinstein thing or the Matt Lauer thing, like it was the worst kept secret kind of thing. I suppose we'll find out more on this as the days go by. But as it stands this morning, I stand by that. I'm proud of our company. I'm proud of our company for calling it out. I'm proud of them for listening. I'm proud of them for sticking up for survivors everywhere. *570, 519-570-2545. Let's take your calls on this. What's your reaction to the termination of Greg Zahn by Sportsnet this morning? Darren, you are up first. Hey, good morning, Darren.
Hello?
Hi, Darren. Good morning.
Oh, it is me.
Is that your name, Darren?
I'm not surprised by it. Yeah, I'm not surprised by it. He was a bit of a bully on the radio. You could hear it on the TV. You could hear it. He was a cheap Don Cherry. He was not a good Don Cherry. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Darren. Yeah, and
were ugly. I mean, some of them are outlandish. My wife used to think, "Who in the heck dresses him? Like, God, it's just awful."
The clothing was what got to you.
Yeah, and I mean, he was a straight shooter as far as his comments in the baseball game. But how many World Series did he win? Like, if you're so good at these comments, why aren't you down there managing the team yourself?
So you're saying he would have had a more active role, like on the field
like
as a coach or something?
So good at it. I can sit on the couch and say, well, I think you should have hit that. I think that every time somebody throws a ball down the plate. I never stood in front of a ball at 100 mile an hour.
Yeah, like the armchair quarterback.
Why are you hitting that? Yeah, that's easy to do.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's anybody can sit on the couch and say after the fact. You do that with everything I watch. I watch races and I think, damn, why didn't you win? I thought you should have won. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done this. You know, that's easy to do.
Darren, what do you think, when you kind of hear these stories as they come out day after day after day, are there any people you are surprised by? Or have there been any names in this whole, you know, Me Too movement or that you've been surprised by?
I didn't know Hollywood was as rampant as it is with men thinking they're so superior over women. I didn't know that. I didn't know women were expected to put out just because they wanted to be an actress. I think, mm-hmm. Jesus, like, mm-hmm. where does that stop? Can't they just do their jobs?
Yeah.
You know, I've always thought, wow, it'd be fun to be famous. It'd be neat to make a movie. Maybe not so much.
Maybe not so much. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Darren. Thanks for the call. And could this be the tip of the iceberg? Some of our colleagues are in the media are saying this could be just the tip of the iceberg, that, you know, what has happened over the past couple of months, you know, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, we've seen a lot of it in the media, but that this seems to be the first person in the world of sports in recent memory to be fired. And of course, we know the culture. We know that those testosterone rich locker rooms, is it only a matter of time before current stars, former players face similar allegations? And of course, we've seen some terribleness by the players in the NFL. Will the NFL start to treat that differently? I mean, you know, we all saw the memes when Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. You know, you can't take a knee, but you can, you know, punch people in the face in an elevator and get suspended for, what was suspension? Was it even a game suspension? It was a fine, I think. *570-519-570-2545. 1-800-570-5715 works as well. We're talking about Greg Zahn being fired from Sportsnet. JR, you have been waiting on hold. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, no problem. And just to answer Darren's question, he did win the World Series with the Marlins, and he played 16 years in the majors. So he was a very successful player, especially for a catcher who the life expectancy in the game is not that long. So he was a very successful player.
Because of the damage that is that's happening on your body as you're professional athlete. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, your knees would go pretty fast.
Right.
So we played 16 years, and that's pretty successful for a player. But I think the culture of not only sports, but baseball and the clubhouse, it might be a tough transition to then go and work in an office where, not that I'm making an excuse for him, but you know, people who go from the locker room to a public, like an office where they're in front of the camera and they're dealing with people all the time, that could be a tough transition, and they might not adequately be aware of what's appropriate. And I think that there needs to be a cultural change everywhere, sports and in the media, to let people know that what's been going on so far obviously is not working anymore and it needs to change.
So, JR, do you think they're unaware? Or do you think they have this kind of like God complex and they just don't care at a certain point of success, or that they think they can just simply get away with it?
Well, I think history proves that they have gotten away with it, and so they just continue with it, right? So
yeah.
If nobody has told them, and I think the focus for what athletes are supposed to do is perform, you know, all the focus is how to better perform on the field. And, you know, Cam Newton earlier this year said to that woman, "I'm surprised you're asking that question. It's such a good question to come from a woman," basically.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in a way, it's unfortunate because he didn't probably know that something was wrong, but there was something very wrong about what he said.
Of course.
And yeah. I think, you know, they're focusing a lot on, obviously, making the team money by having a successful football team and having their quarterback perform at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't focus at all about the interviews.
Yeah.
And dealing with people. And so I think it's a tough call, because I think, and I don't know what happened with Greg Zahn. Maybe he didn't realize what he was doing was wrong. But, you know, maybe there needs to be more focus put on what's acceptable in the public. And I think that, yes, like, you see it when you watch YouTube videos about people meeting, you know, fans meeting their biggest athlete. They just go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
nothing they could do wrong in that moment to make them feel bad.
So that kind of high that they're on such a pedestal.
Oh yeah, and they're going crazy. And I think that, you know, they do probably develop. How can you not develop kind of a God complex when you're put in that situation that people go absolutely crazy at the sight of you? Or, you know, in Greg Zahn's case, he was never a superstar. He was a successful player, but
mm-hmm.
people probably are drawn to him to talk to him because he is, you know, he has some level of fame.
Yeah. Yeah. JR, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. And some stuff coming in here. Jennifer emails me at Jen Campbell, Jennifer at 570news.com. I did find him interesting, his sports casting and his crazy wardrobe entertaining. But if he says those kind of things, sexist douche-wadi things, those were my words, yes, Jennifer, on Twitter, I can only imagine what he'd be saying in real life. Well, there you go, too. If you don't understand boundaries on Twitter, calling women fat, telling, you know, saying things about them having their period, then clearly you're going to do some, you're going to have some awful things to say, you know, when you're not online. Let's take Kevin. Let's take Kevin. Good morning to you, Kevin, at Star 570. Hi.
Yeah, I'm going to make this quick. I'm surprised people calling in saying they didn't know this was going on. Hasn't anyone ever heard of the phrase, the casting couch?
Right, of course. Yeah,
the
yeah. Like the Hollywood, yeah.
Go back to the 50s, and it was accepted up until now. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing it. Both parties, in some cases, maybe not the ones coming out now, knew that it was expected and whatever, but now it's coming out. But it was a tradition almost from the 50s on, and that's why they called it the casting couch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what we have to figure out. You know, like, okay, so things have changed. And no one has ever heard of the word the casting couch. I'm really surprised.
Yeah, and I think we have, But I think it was in a kind of a lighthearted, joking way, wasn't it, Kevin? Like, oh, well, the women are kind of, they agree to this, that they're willing participants in this.
Back in the day, absolutely. That's what, as a matter of
well,
fact, they wanted to do it because they wanted to get on TV. And
well, yeah, okay, but Kevin, that's the misconception, though. I agree with you that there was a casting couch, but I think that what you're misunderstanding is, no, I don't think they wanted to do it. I think they knew that that's exactly what they was expected of them. And
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what the,
yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I
do you know what I mean?
That, but yeah, but
like
you're
the,
right. But hey,
the balance
so
of, of power.
They accepted it. That's the difference.
Yeah, yeah, because what
anyways,
else?
Anyways, the casting coach has been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that call, Kevin. Thanks for that call. Kate, this is a tweet from Johnovision. I wish I was a woman, so if there was a male coworker I didn't like, I could just make up an allegation of sexual misconduct and have them fired. Of course, it helps to have an overly sensitive employer like Sportsnet on one side. So, like, so, and I'll go back to the Cosby thing because in the same situation with Greg Zahn, there are multiple women. So, John, in your theory, a whole bunch of women just woke up one day and all decided, you know what? I think we should destroy Greg Zahn's life today. We all should. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make any sense. Same as in the Cosby case. You know, they had nothing to gain. There's no monetary. The statute of limitations had run out on so many things. It doesn't make sense. 80 people just wake up, some of them who don't even know each other, and say, we should all collectively destroy Dr. Huxtable. I mean, the theory just doesn't stand. And I, for one, am happy to have the what he calls the overly sensitive employer. Again, I'm proud to work for Rogers today, and I think they did the absolute right thing, and I think they did it in a very timely manner. Speaking of timeliness, we are running out of it. So let's take a break and be joined by Diane Verneil, MPP from Kitchener Centre. In response to the PCs revealing the ideas that form the backbone of their election platform, she's got some things to say about that, and we'll hear about them coming up after this.
The power, the energy from a crowd. It's unmistakable. The ones who feel it the most, the Kitchener Rangers.
Busting down the middle, he scores! Up and out!
The Kitchener Rangers play here. 570 News.
I think there's a saying in politics, you know, it's always election time. Kind of like in showbiz, you know. It's always, you must be on all of the time. And we have the PCs, the Progressive Conservatives, floating 139 new ideas that will help form the backbone of their election platform as it's always election time, as we get set for another one of those elections coming up in the fall of 2019. And here to discuss those ideas, we're joined this morning by Diane Verneil, MPP from Kitchener Centre. Good morning to you, Diane. Thanks for staying on hold for us for so long this morning. Thanks.
Good morning. And you know what, Jennifer? I was listening very closely to your previous conversation, and that's something that really concerns me. I worked in broadcasting for over 30 years, and I could tell you stories.
Yeah, and I think that that's exactly what it is, isn't it, Diane? Because as we've been watching this unfold, I won't speak for you, but I do know that every woman I have spoken to, every woman in my life, professionally and otherwise, has a story to tell, which shows the size of this epidemic. And I've been recalling things that I don't know whether I kind of pushed them away or just didn't want to think about them anymore or didn't realize the size of them at that moment. But my goodness, it is it's the best of times and the worst of times, I think, for women.
I think what's surprising for me, having getting started in broadcasting in the early 1980s. That's the way it was then. And maybe naively I thought that it was changing. I know that when I left CTV Kitchener, CKCO, it had completely changed. We had women in management. We had best practices in human resources. And that wasn't an issue in that workplace. And yet you're hearing all of these stories now, but apparently it's still happening.
And what a wave we've had. It's been an interesting couple months. And again, I mean, you have to kind of look at it as, well, thank goodness we're getting to it and we're getting to it now.
And so, Jennifer, do you ask why? Like, why now?
Yeah, you know, have we just collectively all had enough? Is it, you know, has winter come, as they call us lefty liberals? A lot of times we hear we're snowflakes and winter is coming. And if that's the case, then so be it, because I dare say I'll put on my earmuffs and continue to march.
And yet there's still an individual in a very high office south of the border who has had mm-hmm. accusations lobbied mm-hmm. at him. And the mud does not seem to be sticking to him.
No, it's interesting, isn't it, that a lot of the, you know, that the private sector seems to be dealing with this in completely different ways than the public sometimes. So, the conversation continues, as well it should, and I'm happy that it does. Okay, so when we talk about the PCs, let's get into this now. If we get 100 policy ideas that they say will form the backbone of their campaign platform in next year's Ontario election. Now, I've read some of them. Noticeably, none of them mentioned anything about minimum wage, nothing about the legalization of marijuana, interestingly. So what say you then in response to these these backbone-forming ideas from the PCs and from Patrick Brown?
Yeah, nothing on women, nothing on
nothing
poverty.
On women, nothing on poverty, yeah.
Yeah, my natural reflex, my go-to place, my happy place, having worked for over 30 years as a news journalist, is always to put all of these promises up to scrutiny. And I think what should concern us about Patrick Brown is that he says one thing, but I think he has another agenda. And you can see this with the way that he votes, which is a matter of public record. And he cannot run from that. He can't hide from that. As a federal MP, he voted against same-sex marriage. Now he says he's in favor. Mm-hmm. But his voting record reveals his true core values. He voted to deny a woman the right to choose. He did that as a federal MP. Now he says he's in favor. He said that he would tear up the updated health and phys ed curriculum that's being taught in Ontario schools and in provinces right across Canada. After he was elected as PC leader, suddenly he said he was in favor. But during a Toronto by-election last year, he sent letters to 13,000 homes saying that he would scrap the new sex ed curriculum. 5 days later, he said that that was a mistake and he supported it. So if you've lost track, that's 4 times he flip-flopped on one issue. And you're right, his party voted against giving hardworking Ontarians a living wage of $15 an hour that would lift people out of poverty. He was in the House that day, by the way, but he ducked out right before the vote. So he wasn't present for that, although he was there during question period. He voted against free medicines for Ontarians under 25. He voted against free university and college tuition for low-income students. And he voted against creating 100,000 new childcare spaces that are needed right now. So, you know, he may fool people into thinking that he supports broad progressive initiatives, but when he had a chance to support all of these initiatives, when it mattered, he and his party said no. So that's who Patrick Brown is. I mean, he's a social conservative. Look at his voting mm-hmm. record. Mm-hmm. And we're now seeing that style of politics, how it's playing out south of the border. I don't think that we want that here in Ontario. If you look at what we have brought forward, the Liberal government, we're looking for a plan for fairness and opportunity. So we're increasing the minimum wage. We have free tuition for students. We have pharmacare for youth. These are real measures that do bring better quality of life for Ontarians.
Diane Verniel is our guest, MPP from Kitchener Centre, and because of the raucous conversations we've had, we're almost out of time. I would love, Diane, if you'd come in with us one day. Why don't we come in and perhaps... See, we will dust off your broadcasting shoes. I'm sure they're not dusty at all, and get you in here. And
can I tell you something, Jennifer? It's a lot easier asking the questions than it is answering them. I would love to join you. The House rises on December the 14th, and then we get to stick around for a few weeks in the riding. But let's connect, and I would love to come
I would
in
like
and
to
see
do that
in person.
Too. That would be great. Yes, and I dare say I'd much rather ask than answer. Absolutely. You nailed it there. Diane Verniel, it's always good to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll see you soon.
Wonderful being with you. Thanks.
Thank Thank Bye-bye. You. Take care. Bye-bye. Out of time. Hey, you guys, just a quick note. I got an email. There is King Street in Uptown Waterloo is open today. Willis Way to Bridgeport was closed for so long. Guess what? There's a Christmas market. So me and my Visa are going to go up there and you know, make a little smoke. So go up to that Christmas market, celebrate the opening of King Street in Uptown Waterloo. Thanks so much. Enjoy this weekend. Out of time once again. It's been so good to have you. Thanks for all those phone calls and those comments. And we will see you on Monday.